Check two two. The intro.
The void breathes, not like lungs, like mathematics. Alex stands in the corridor between worlds, watching the tense screen hover in the nothingness like a black eye. No, it speaks again. Not with sound, but with reality bending into meaning. I am the Yere. Alex's smile doesn't reach his eyes. For the first time in a long time, he doesn't feel fear, he feels ownership. Because he finally understands the custodian's greatest lie. They didn't take his power, they took his confidence to use it. And now that confidence is back, Alex raises his hand. A void reacts like an obedient animal. He speaks.
Freeze.
A ripple pulses outward, gentle, controlled, yet enormous. The tent screen flickers once, almost amused. No, it doesn't freeze, but the corridor does. A chaos of voices, souls whispering through the seams of reality, still exist, but becomes quieter. As if the universe itself lowers its volume to hear him better. Alex takes one step forward, then another. He moves toward the moon door's exit point back to Earth, but he doesn't go through. Not yet, because he senses it.
Amara, under rainlight, her palm glowing with sun memory. Sarah, awake somewhere distant, lips parted as if tasting prophecy. Sam and Dean, half aware, half ignored by destiny. But present like loaded weapons the universe hasn't fired yet. Emily, carrying echoes of what she birthed.
Kale, hidden.
Kale's name pulses faintly on a screen that shouldn't be able to locate him. A leak, a glitch, a future god tucked into the folds of fate. Alex exhales slowly. This is where he becomes truly dangerous. Not by attacking, but by rewriting the rules, he places both hands in the air like he's holding invisible walls, and he speaks the sentence that makes stars tremble.
I'm done watching.
The nine screens flicker violently, the room shakes, the moon under heaven hums like an engine starting. Then Alex says the most important command of Book 3.
Anchor.
At first, nothing seems to happen. Then, across Earth, time hesitates, Earth split. Amara stands frozen in the rain, not paralyzed, not scared, just suspended. A raindrop hangs by her cheek like a jewel. A cigarette ember glows without consuming the paper. Her breathing slows, her heartbeat becomes heavy and deep as if it is no longer a clock. Her eyes widen as she feels it. Something inside her is being held. Not by the world, by him. Amara whispers, barely audible.
Alex.
And somewhere above the clouds, the moon answers for him.
Earth.
Where Sarah is. Sarah wakes from a dream she doesn't remember starting. Her breath catches as she feels time trying to move and failing. Her body isn't frozen. Her mind isn't trapped. Instead, she feels chosen. An invisible hand is wrapped around her soul and whispered.
Not yet, you don't get to fade.
She sits up quickly. She places a hand over her chest. And then she smiles, soft, almost relieved, like she has waited her whole life for permission to become eternal. Earth, USA.
Sam is driving.
Dean sits in the passenger seat, annoyed, chewing on a thought as it owes him money. They've had the feeling for weeks that the sky is lying, that reality is too thin, that something has been watching them. Dean opens his mouth to insult Sam's music taste, then stops, because the road ahead looks wrong, not like a hallucination, like a frame that didn't render properly. The trees hold still for half a second too long. The wind forgets to move. Sam's eyes widen.
Did you?
Dean cuts him off instinctively. Don't say it. He grips the dashboard hard. Sam's voice is quiet.
I think time just
blinked. Dean swallows.
Yeah.
Then Dean looks up at the sky. And for the first time, he says something that sounds like faith without religion. Something big just noticed us.
Heaven.
the result, Alex watches. The anchoring spreads like invisible gold chains snapping onto chosen souls. Not cages, not prisons, lifelines. He feels their timelines lock into place. Aging dissolves from their future like a curse lifted. For those bound to him, time becomes optional, not erased, just irrelevant. Gaga steps closer. Her voice finally forms words inside his mind. So now they can't be taken. Alex nods slowly. His eyes stay on Kale's flickering signature. Now, Alex whispers, we can jump. The temporary piece. The time jump mechanism. Alex turns toward the tenth screen. No pulses. It senses the anchoring. It senses the cheat. The author is refusing to let his cast rot. The signal speaks through the system, not null, but something using its silence. You can't stop the end. Alex smiles. I'm not stopping the end. He steps forward. He places his palm on the tenth screen. The screen screams without sound. The whole moon shakes and Alex declares, truce. The universe hesitates again. A truce is not forgiveness, not peace. A truce is a pause in violence. A temporary suspension, like holding a breath. Null reacts instantly. I do not negotiate. Alex replies calmly.
You will not because you want to, but because I finally remember how to lock doors.
He closes his fist. Reality crunches like ice. The tenth screen collapses inward, not destroyed, but contained, compressed into a black shard floating in the air. Null becomes silent, not dead, not gone, just paused. Suspended conflict. Alex breathes out slowly, then looks at Gaga.
We buy time.
Gaga's eyes soften for Kale.
For Kale.
Alex agree.
Alex turns back toward the nine screens.
Now he can do what he hasn't done since he was truly God.
He can jump. He can move the story forward.
He can let years pass without losing his people.
He can rebuild power, romance, and allies. He can grow the legend.
But before he leaves heaven, Alex does one last thing. He opens a hidden panel inside the nine screens. And in the deepest folder, older than Earth itself, he finds the original cosmic file. The one that contains the first draft of reality. The universe's first line of code. Alex reads it. And his face changes.
Because the first line doesn't say, let there be light. It says, let there be love. Alex whispers, that's why Null hates me. And then, with a quiet smile, he steps through the moon door again toward Amara, toward romance, toward prophecy, toward the part of him that made all this worth creating.
Girl in the rain.
Alex returns to Earth like lightning returning to the sky.
Not falling, choosing.
He steps out of the moon door, and the world snaps back around him with brutal normality. Rain, street lights, wet pavement, the smell of salt, cigarettes, and something metallic in destiny.
Split. The same city that always felt like home and a trap at the same time.
The air is cold,
but not like before.
Because he is no longer fully human.
He feels the difference in his bones first.
His body holds warmth without needing it.
His heartbeat still exists, but it's not leading anymore.
It's following.
Alex walks through the rain like the rain is afraid to touch him.
And then he sees her.
Amara stands under a broken streetlight.
Soaked cigarette between her fingers, eyes fixed forward.
Not waiting like a girl waiting.
Waiting like a prophecy waiting.
Alex slows.
His vision catches on her the way gravity catches on planets.
For a moment, he forgets the null current.
For a moment, he forgets the watchers.
For a moment,
he forgets heaven. Because she looks at him, and his soul flinches as if remembering a kiss from the beginning of time.
Amara exhales smoke and says quietly,
you're back.
Alex stops in front of her.
Rain runs down his hair, but doesn't seem to make him colder.
I'm back, he repeats, like he's testing whether his voice still belongs to him.
Amara takes one step closer.
Her eyes search him.
Like she's trying to locate the boy underneath the god.
Then she whispers, where did you go? Alex's jaw tightens.
There are 1,000 answers.
The moon.
The 9 screens.
The 10th screen with O.
The truth that time is a leash. The truth that he can't fully cut it yet.
But instead, he says the only honest answer that matters. Somewhere I remembered. Amara studies him.
Then something in a face changes.
Not loss,
not romance,
recognition,
fear, but the kind that excites.
Do you feel different? She asks.
Alex nods slowly.
I angered us.
Amara blinks.
What does that mean? Alex steps closer.
Until they are within breath distance.
He speaks softly, almost tender.
It means time can't take you.
Her lips part. She doesn't know what she's hearing, but her body reacts to it.
Like the soul understands before the mind is allowed to.
Amara's voice is low.
Why me?
Alex pauses.
His eyes drift over her face. He sees the details again. Her mouth, the shape of her cheekbones, the curve of her stare.
And for half a second, the universe glitches inside him, and he almost says it. Because you're special. But he doesn't.
Not yet.
He hasn't earned that truth yet.
He doesn't have proof. Only craving. Only pain.
Only the unbearable suspicion that his love has been standing in front of him wearing another name. Instead, Alex says,
because you were there when I started waking up.
Amara steps closer. Rain slides down her neck. Her cigarette has burned out unnoticed. Her hand touches his forearm. The contact hits Alex like a flare.
Not physical.
Cosmic. A warmth inside his bones that he remembers from the sun. Alex's breath catches.
Amara whispers.
What are you? Alex's eyes lock onto hers. Then gently, he answers the most dangerous sentence he can say.
I'm the reason the sky exists.
Amara's throat moves as she swallows. Then she laughs softly like she should be terrified, but she isn't.
Prove it.
Alex looks at her. Rain Street light. Everything ordinary. He could levitate cars. He could rewrite the street into gold. He could split the clouds, but he doesn't. Because he knows what she's really asking for.
Not power, truth.
So Alex does the smallest miracle. He raises his hand. The rain stops, not globally, just around them. A perfect circle, 3 meters wide, dryness in the middle of a storm. Raindrops freeze in the air at the edge like glass beads held in invisible wire.
Amara stares.
Her eyes widen.
Then she whispers,
Jesus. Alex shakes his head.
No.
His voice is quiet but absolute.
Not him.
Amara turns back to him, breathing fast now. Then she says something Alex doesn't expect. Something that hits deeper than any cosmic threat.
Why do I feel like I've loved you before?
Alex's face hardens, his soul aches.
Alex whispers.
You have.
Amara's eyes fill, not with tears, but with a brightness like she's about to become more than human.
Then kiss me, she says.
Alex freezes.
Not because he doesn't want to, because he does.
Too much.
Kissing her feels like stepping into a trap he designed himself.
But the rain has stopped, the world is paused, time is held back, and if not now...
When? Alex leans in slow, like he's approaching a star and their lips meet.
It isn't gentle.
It's not messy either. It's inevitable.
The kiss hits like a memory returning.
Amara grabs his collar hard, pulling him closer.
Alex's entire body lights up.
His bones, his nerves, his soul.
For 1 second, he sees something he cannot explain.
A blonde girl in space laughing.
Gaga.
Amara pulls back, breathing hard. Her eyes are wild now, she whispers.
What the hell was that?
Alex's voice is ragged.
I don't know.
But he does. He just won't accept it yet.
Cut. Watches POV.
Far above, split in a layer of reality that humans never notice. The watches are no longer united. 5 remain, fractured, wounded, ashamed.
And for the first time, they are afraid.
Not of Alex, of what Alex is becoming.
One watcher speaks, voice sharp like static.
He anchored them.
Another answer.
That's impossible, only full control can anchor.
A third watcher hisses.
He's regaining it. Silence falls. Then the smallest watcher, the one that still remembers why watchers were created, says,
if he anchors the wrong souls,
the story becomes unbreakable.
The Watchers tremble.
Not physically.
Conceptually, they exist as rules.
And Alex is starting to rewrite
rules. Then, like a cold knife, O speaks from the pause tense screen, not in words and pressure.
A sensation that makes Watchers want to kneel.
O says one thing into their minds.
You failed.
The Watchers record. The leader of the five finally admits what none of them wanted to say.
The null current doesn't want Alex dead.
He swallows. It wants him. Irrelevant.
Back to Alex and Mara.
The rain resumes without warning.
Like the universe remembered to breathe again.
Amara steps back, shocked, wiping rain from her lips like she
can't believe her own body.
Alex watches her heart pounding.
Then he senses it.
A thread, a presence, Sarah.
Not nearby, physically.
But close enough in the soul, where but to whisper.
Her voice enters Alex's mind like a soft knife.
She is closer than you think.
But if you name her too early,
you'll lose her again.
Alex closes his eyes.
He whispers inside.
What do I do?
Sarah replies.
You become worthy of her.
Not the powerful.
Worthy. Alex opens his eyes.
Amara is watching him.
And he realizes.
Amara isn't just the romance.
She is the key to power.
Because love is the only control.
No, cannot erase.
Alex whispers.
We're leaving split.
Amara blinks where?
Alex looks up at the moon.
Ohio.
And the chapter ends with one last line writing itself in Alex's mind like destiny is smiling.
The leak has started.
Chapter 4.
Ohio is not a place.
Oh, oh, oh.
Ohio sounds like a joke when Alex says it out loud.
It's not Paris, not Rome.
Not some mythic mountain or holy temple.
Ohio.
Amara laughs when he tells her.
Ohio, like the state.
Alex doesn't laugh.
He can feel it in his teeth now, like the world has a hum underneath it, like electricity behind reality. Ohio is not a place. It's a node, a crossroads where timelines scrape against each other like blades. Amara watches him pack like he's a man pretending to be normal. A hoodie, a jacket, an old passport cash he somehow always has, even when he shouldn't.
You're acting like we're going on vacation, she says.
Alex keeps packing.
We are, he says.
Amara raises an eyebrow.
And the resort is where? The cornfields.
Alex pauses.
Then quietly.
The place where the leak begins. Amara crosses the room and stands close. Her voice turns softer but dangerous.
You said you'd prove things I didn't know you meant leaving my entire life behind.
Alex looks at her. His eyes are calm but full of storms.
You don't have a life behind, he says. Not the one you think.
Amara's jaw tightens. She doesn't like not knowing. She hates mysteries that touch her identity. But she also, deep inside, loves the way Alex makes her feel like she's not trapped inside a small human story.
Amara whispers.
Are you taking me? Because you want me? Or because you need me? Alex doesn't answer immediately. Then he says the truth.
Both.
Amara breathes in sharply, a half smile.
Finally, honesty.
Alex steps toward her. He doesn't touch her yet, but his presence is heat.
I'm not human with you, he says.
Amara's throat tightens.
What are you then?
Alex leans closer.
A planet.
That word hits her like a strange poetry she doesn't understand but feels.
Okay.
Amara whispers.
Take me to Ohio.
The travel. Alex doesn't fly them like Superman. Not yet. He still doesn't fully trust his powers.
Instead, he uses the old method.
Planes, airports, crowds, because crowds hide gods. They move through Split's airport like strangers, like lovers, like fugitives.
Amara watches his posture.
How he walks, like he's carrying invisible kingship.
How are you so calm? She asks.
Alex replies, because
the world doesn't matter unless I let it.
Amara shakes her head as she hates him, but is also addicted to him.
You're insane.
Alex smirks faintly.
I'm consistent.
On the plane, she falls asleep leaning against him.
Alex doesn't sleep. He watches. He listens.
Not with ears. He listens with control, with instinct, with the invisible network that ties all souls together.
And he feels it again.
A pulse, not from the moon, not from the watchers, from Earth, from America, from Ohio.
A newborn signal that isn't newborn anymore.
A soul that reads upside down.
Kale. Alex's eyes narrow. He whispers into the dark cabin, barely moving his lips.
You're already awake, aren't you?
Cut, Sam and Dean.
Dean Walker doesn't believe in fate, not in the poetic way.
He believes in calls and effect bullets and gasoline, muscle memory and survival. But he believes in one thing with religion-level conviction. When the world starts feeling too quiet, it means something is coming.
He stands in a cheap motel bathroom, brushing his teeth, staring at himself like his reflection might blink wrong.
Sam is in the next room,
half asleep, half writing, always writing. Sam hears Dean's pacing and says,
"You're doing it again."
Dean spits, wipes his mouth with a towel.
Doing what?
Sam sighs.
The impending doom walk.
Dean steps into the room.
And?
Sam points at the notebook. I had the dream again.
Dean's entire mood shifts.
Not fear. Alertness.
About the kid?
Dean asks.
Sam nods.
In the dream, he's standing in front of a mirror.
But it isn't a mirror.
It's like a hole.
Dean takes the notebook and reads what Sam wrote.
K-A-E-L.
Then underneath it.
L-E-A-K.
Dean frowns.
What the hell is that?
Sam looks at him.
It's upside down.
Dean stares at the letters like they're trying to hypnotize him. Then he says something that surprises even himself.
I hate puzzles that think they're smarter than me.
Sam laughs slightly. Dean points.
But why Ohio?
Sam pauses.
Then that's where I felt it.
Dean's voice turns colder.
Felt what?
Sam looks down.
Like someone was watching me.
The room goes silent, then the lights flicker, not a power outage. A blink like reality itself stuttered.
Dean steps back instinctively.
Sam's eyes widen.
Dean mutters. Okay, that's new.
She's near.
Dean looks up, Emily.
Sam nods slowly.
She has something.
Dean doesn't ask her.
He already knows. Some part of him hates knowing. But he says, then we go to Ohio.
Arrival at Ohio.
The house looks ordinary. That's the first thing Sam notices. Not divine, not cursed, not special. Just a small suburban structure with white siding and a narrow porch like a thousand others on the street. Dean frowns.
This is it.
Sam nods slowly. His chest feels tight, like something inside him recognizes the place, but refuses to explain why.
Yeah, he says quietly.
This is the address.
Dean studies him.
You sure?
Sam hesitates.
No, he admits.
Then he walks forward anyway.
He knocks.
For a moment, nothing happens. Then footsteps approach from inside. The door opens. A woman stands there holding a baby. She freezes when she sees Sam. Her eyes widen instantly. Not fear. Recognition. Sam. She breathes. Sam's entire body goes cold. Dean glances at him.
You know her?
Sam shakes his head slowly.
No.
The woman frowns, confused.
Yes, you do.
She studies his face like she's searching for damage.
I'm Emily.
She says softly. Sam stares at her. The name means nothing and everything.
Dean steps forward slightly.
Emily, he repeats carefully.
How do we know you?
Her expression breaks.
I'm your half-sister.
Silence.
Dean blinks.
Sam's voice barely works.
We don't have a sister.
Emily swallows.
You do.
She adjusts the baby gently in her arms. And this is your nephew. Sam looks down. The baby looks back at him.
Calm.
Watching. Not like a normal infant, like something waiting.
Dean exhales slowly.
This is impossible, Emily whispers.
I know.
Sam feels it then, not memory, not yet, but something deeper. A space where memory should be missing. Not empty. Removed. Sam meets Emily's eyes again. We need to talk.
The Watchers.
The five Watchers sit around nothing. Not in chairs, not in a room. They sit around in absence. A void shaped like what they lost. One Watcher speaks.
He kissed her.
Another hisses.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
The smallest one whispers. Love anchors control. The leader slams an invisible fist into invisible air.
Love should not matter.
Silence.
Then O speaks again.
Not with words, with emptiness. O shows them an image. Alex and Amara are in an airport moving toward America. And in the distance behind them, on the 10th screen,
A shadow like a human shape made of static.
Oh, doesn't speak.
Oh, simply transmits the truth. If Alex regains full control, the game ends. The watchers tremble, and for the second time, they consider the unthinkable, helping him. Not because they love him, but because O scares them more than a god. Ohio greets them with gray skies. It smells like wet asphalt, cheap coffee, and American obsession. Amara steps outside the airport, looks around, and says,
"This place feels dull."
Alex replies quietly,
"It's hiding something."
They rent a car. Amara drives. Alex sits beside her, staring at the road like it's a timeline. After 20 minutes, she asks,
"So what's our plan? You're gonna teleport into NASA and steal secrets."
Alex smirks.
"No."
Amara squints.
"What then?"
Alex turns his head toward her. His voice lowers.
"We find Kale."
Amara's hands tighten on the wheel.
"The kid."
Alex nods. Amara swallows and says something that makes Alex glance at her sharply.
"I think I know him."
Alex's blood goes cold.
"What?" he asks.
Amara's eyes stay on the road.
She speaks slowly.
"In my dreams,
I see a boy."
Alex doesn't breathe. Amara continues.
"He's 16. He's laughing. And he's always running."
"From what?"
Amara says.
"From the sky."
"The car goes silent except for the tires."
Alex looks out the window.
"And finally, for the first time, he admits it out loud."
Bo found him first.
That night, Alex falls asleep for the first time since split.
Not because he's tired, because Gaga forces it.
She presses into his mind like sunlight pressing into the ocean.
Sleep is not weakness.
Sleep is access.
Alex dreams.
And in the dream, he's back in the moon heaven.
9 screens, then the 10th.
But now there is an 11th screen.
One Alex never created.
It shows a teenage boy standing under a street light in Ohio. The boy looks up, smiles,
and says directly into Alex's soul,
"Hi." Alex wakes up instantly, sweating.
Amara sits up right beside him,
breathing hard.
She whispers, "I saw him." Alex whispers,
"Me too."
Outside,
thunder rolls, but it isn't weather.
It's reality cracked.
Alex senses a name before he understands it.
Laystack.
Amara turns toward him.
"Who?" Alex gets irritated instantly because he hates remembering in pieces.
But the name is there now.
Not a street name, not a place, a feeling.
The car turns into a quiet neighborhood. Trees, wet sidewalks, white fences, the kind of normal that feels staged.
Amara slows down.
"This is it?"
she asks.
Alex doesn't answer, his chest tightens.
Not fear, memory, a ripple hits him.
Hard enough, the world blurs for half a second, like a buffering video.
Suddenly, he's not in the car, he's standing on the same street, with the different skin, a different year, a different breath.
Watching the house burn from the inside without flames.
And in the middle of that dream
memory stands a man.
Dark hoodie, quiet eyes.
A smile like he knows the ending already.
Laystack. Alex whispers the name out loud without meaning to.
Laystack. Amara glances at him.
Who? Alex's jaw clenches.
The shield.
Amara frowns.
What does that mean?
Alex stares at the houses like they're chess pieces.
It means Kale won't survive the jump without him.
Amara's voice drops.
And Emily?
Alex nods once. And Jeff too. He says it like those names are written somewhere ancient. Amara grips the steering wheel tighter.
So why isn't he here now?
Alex's eyes go cold, he will be. And then, far down the street, under a streetlight that shouldn't be flickering, a figure steps forward from the rain. Hands in pockets, no umbrella. Like water doesn't dare touch him. Alex exhales.
He's late, Amara mutters.
Alex watches the man approach and replies, he's always late. The figure stops close enough for Amara to see his face, young but tired in a way only immortality causes. He nods at Alex like greeting an old war friend and says, took you long enough.
Chapter 5. The Shield of Ohio.
The rain doesn't fall the way it should. It feels like the sky is tired. Ohio smells like wet asphalt and quiet decisions.
Nothing like split salt air or Zagreb's diesel nerves. This place is softer, broader, too wide, like the universe chose it, because nobody would look here.
Amara parks near the curb.
The streetlight above them flickers once, twice, then steadies.
Down the street, the figure steps closer, unhurried, hands in his pockets, like time is something that belongs to him.
Amara squints, her eyebrows furrowed, her mind searching for recognition, tension rising in her shoulders.
Is he?
Alex cuts her off.
Don't talk, not yet.
She stares at him. Alex rarely orders, he usually persuades reality into obeying. But now his tone carries something older than anger.
A king's caution.
The man stops at the edge of the light, water hits his shoulders and slides off, refusing to soak into the fabric. Amara notices that.
And her skin prickles.
He looks at Alex first, ignoring Amara like she's air.
Then, slowly, his eyes shift to her.
Something in his expression changes.
Subtle, but real.
He seems to see two versions of her at once.
He begins, then stops.
As if deciding what language the universe is currently using.
Finally, he speaks, voice calm but weighted.
You brought her. Alex opens the car door and steps out into the rain. His shoes hit the pavement with a sound too loud for how quiet the street is.
I didn't bring anyone,
Alex says.
You know how this works.
Lystak's mouth curls into a half smile.
I know how everything works.
Amara steps out next, slower than Alex, posture defensive without meaning to. She shuts the door quietly. She doesn't like this guy already.
He feels like a truth she isn't ready to hear.
Lystak looks at her again.
This time, he doesn't hide it.
Not the recognition, not the certainty. Something in his posture changes. Not submission, but adjustment, like gravity itself has shifted and he's correcting his balance. He nods once.
Mara.
The name sounds wrong in his mouth. Not insulting, not mistaken, outdated.
Her eyes narrow. And she stands rigid, uncertainty flickering in her gaze.
Have we met?
Lystak hesitates.
Not because he doesn't know, because he knows too well.
Not in your current form.
Silence stretches between them, thin and sharp.
Alex exhales.
Stop. The word isn't loud, but it carries weight. A warning, not a request.
Lystak glances at him. The faint amusement from before is gone now. What replaces it is older careful.
Still trying to stop time.
Lystak asks, low.
Alex steps closer until the space between them disappears.
Still trying to accelerate.
Lystak doesn't answer immediately.
His eyes drift back to her.
Not steady, confirming. He leans forward slightly. Not threatening, not gentle, simply inevitable.
I know enough, he says, voice low and steady, to recognize when something has returned.
A breath catches, she blinks, surprise and confusion flashing across her face. She doesn't know why.
She feels the name Mara fading inside.
Looser, like clothing that no longer fits.
Alex's jaw tightens.
His expression hardening as concern shadows his eyes. Don't, he says. Lystak meets his gaze without fear.
I didn't make this happen, he replies.
I'm just the first to see it clearly.
He looks back at her one last time.
Not Mara, not anymore.
Something old.
Something that used Mara as a vessel.
Something is waking up.
Still trying to control the narrative, huh?
Alex steps closer until they're almost face to face.
Still trying to sound like you know more than you should.
Lystak leans in just slightly.
I know enough to keep the baby alive.
That sentence lands like thunder.
Alex doesn't flinch, but something behind his eyes tightens.
Amara's head jerks between the men, her lips parted and eyes wide with shock.
The baby, she repeats, Kale.
Alex doesn't answer.
Lystak speaks instead.
Voice quieter now.
They're not safe, not tonight, not anywhere.
Amara folds her arms, chin raised in false defiance inside. Her pulse races as anxiety creeps in.
From who?
Lystak tilts his head up toward the clouds. From what?
The streetlight flickers again.
A sound rises, barely audible, like electricity being pulled through water. Alex feels it first, not with ears, with soul. His spine stiffens. Amara steps back, her brow tense and jaw clenched, instinctively distancing herself from danger.
Laystack watches both their reactions like a scientist confirming a prediction.
It's closer than you think, he says.
Alex's jaw clenches. The null current. Laystack nods.
It's not coming like an army, it's coming like a correction.
Amara frowns.
A correction of what?
Alex answers, his voice harsher than he wants, of me. For a moment, nothing moves. The rain continues quiet, endless, and Alex realizes something that shocks him. He doesn't hear the world, he hears only his own heart beating, human, he hates it.
Amara steps toward him, gently, and touches his arm.
The contact is warm, too warm, like the sun briefly peeking through storm clouds. Alex flinches.
Not away from her, but away from how much she needed that warmth.
Laystack notices.
Of course he notices. He always notices everything.
That's not just your girlfriend, Laystack says, almost amused.
That's your...
Alex snaps.
Don't.
Laystack raises his hands slightly in surrender.
Fine.
But the look in his eyes says,
you can't stop what's coming.
The house.
Laystack leads them down the street. Amara keeps glancing at Alex, worry pinching her face as she tries to read him. Alex won't meet her gaze. Frustration and calculation bleed into his posture. He's in calculation mode now, rebuilding a map inside his head. Because if Laystack is here...
Then this place matters. They stop at a modest house, nothing special. White porch, small yard, one faintly glowing second floor window.
Amara whispers.
This is normal.
Laystack replies.
That's the point. He walks up the porch steps and knocks, but not like a visitor. Like someone who already belongs there. The door opens, Emily stands there. She looks tired, but not weak, the kind of tired that comes from motherhood and destiny colliding. Her eyes widen when she sees Alex. She doesn't smile. She looks like she's seeing a storm walk in.
Alex.
Her voice trembles, not from fear, more like reverence.
Alex steps closer, softer now.
Emily. Then, almost against his will, he glances past her.
Inside, the air smells like clean linen and warm milk. There's a cradle and a sound, a tiny sound, a newborn's breath.
Amara feels her chest tighten, her hand drifting to her heart, bewildered at the emotion swelling inside.
She doesn't even know why her eyes water.
Emily steps aside and lets them in.
Laystack stays by the door like a guard. The baby cries once, then calms, as if sensing something ancient has entered.
Alex approaches slowly. His whole body feels wrong.
He should be excited. He should be angry. He should be commanding.
But instead...
He's careful.
Like the universe might break if he moves too fast.
Emily speaks quietly.
He was born, and the air changed.
What do you mean?
Emily looks at Amara, and something strange passes between them.
Recognition.
Not personal.
Cosmic.
A woman like you.
Emily says slowly, shouldn't exist twice.
Amara stiffens.
Alex closes his eyes.
Oh, no.
Not yet.
Not tonight.
Emily continues anyway.
When he cried the first time, every mirror in the room fogged.
Amara's breath catches. Emily points at the cradle.
And then, the moonlight moved.
Alex opens his eyes sharply.
The moon.
Emily nods.
Laystack finally speaks, voice hard.
It's awake. Alex stares at the baby as if the child is both a gift and a threat. Then he feels it, a thread, a pull, like a signal, a leak. Alex whispers, Kale.
The baby's eyes open.
Too aware.
Not humanized.
Not yet.
But something inside those eyes looks at Alex like it's been waiting.
Alex's knees almost buckle. He steadies himself on the edge of the cradle.
Amara rushes closer and touches Alex's shoulder.
Alex?
He swallows.
His voice comes out rough.
That's not just a baby.
Emily's voice drops.
I know.
Laystack adds.
It's a key.
Amara whispers. A key to what?
Alex answers, barely audible, like saying it will make it true.
To the light.
The watchers fracture.
Far away. Not in distance, but in frequency. Five watchers hover in a space between seconds. They do not stand, they do not breathe, they simply observe, except now.
They are not united. One watcher trembles, pixels of light peeling from its form like skin. Another watcher turns toward the others, voice breaking like glass.
He is going to the moon room.
A third watcher speaks, almost pleading.
We cannot stop him directly.
The fourth says something that no watcher should ever say.
Then help him.
Silence spreads like poison. Then the fifth watcher,
oldest of them, whispers.
If the null current erases him,
it erases us too.
The fracture becomes truth. And for the first time in their endless existence,
the watchers feel something like fear.
Back to Oyo.
Amara leans close to Alex, voice trembling.
So what do we do? Alex's gaze remains on Kale. The baby blinks once, and Alex suddenly sees it. Not a vision, not a dream. A flash of 9 screens, 9 windows, 9 worlds, a room inside the moon. He hears the faintest echo. Live broadcast. He whispers it aloud without meaning to. Laystack stiffens. Emily flinches. Amara hears the word and shivers as if she almost remembers it too. Alex turns to Laystack.
You're guarding them.
Alex says. Laystack nods.
Alex turns to Emily.
You're staying hidden.
Emily nods, terrified.
Alex turns to Amara.
And you? He begins.
Amara takes his hand, firm.
I'm not leaving.
Alex tries to argue. But Gaga, deep within Amara, warms Alex undeniable. And then it lands. Harder than any punch, heavier than any prophecy. Amara is not just the woman beside him. She's a continuation. A third Ara. Aftermath, after real, after reality, after ascension. A living offspring of Alex and Gaga's first touch. Born from the universe's oldest love, disguised as a coincidence so that even the Watchers would underestimate her. Not a backup plan. Not an accident. A hidden daughter of creation. The most powerful girl the universe ever allowed itself to make. And in that moment, Alex understands if love made gods, then Amara is what love made after gods.
Stay.
Alex exhales. Then he says the sentence that changes everything.
Then we go to the moon.
And outside, the rain stops.
Not naturally.
It stops like someone paused the sky.